Will your heroes survive?
This is Lisa Bunny with your podcast update. Yes, after a bit of a wait, we are returning and we'll be producing some fantastic new episodes. Due to some interesting new developments with your one and only Jump Drive crew, however, there has been a bit of a delay. Happily, this has resulted in a decision to restructure the podcast and website. So stay tuned over the next few weeks for the future of Jump Drive Radio and our exciting new adventures. We'll be battling the forces of evil and discussing new and exciting events in science fiction, fantasy, unicorns, everything in between. And we're going to try to bring some interesting new content to the website. I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's a lot of good things in the works and in planning. On another note, however, due to a bit of a time flux, the episode you are about to hear may make references to quote-unquote future events, which at this time may or may not have actually already occurred. Enjoy!
Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Nick, Lisa, and Amber.
Welcome to Jump Drive Radio. This is Nick. I'll be hosting tonight, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Todd, Amber, and Lisa.
Hi!
Yeah. I think we're going to cover kind of just a wide range of topics tonight, but does anyone want to say anything up first? Anything cool going on lately?
Well, other than the fact that we decided to go record this in the Batcave, we found a back entrance. You can hear the rain coming down through the rocks.
It's actually more like an intercave stream, a spring of fresh water running constantly.
My favorite is the stalactites and the stalagmites and the Cenobites.
I'd like to point out that none of those things were real. Stalactites and stalagmites and Cenobites.
I will say, though, you're thinking that in a place that's, you know, dark and damp, it would be kind of musty smelling, but it smells really good. I like potatoes and beef and I'm not sure.
You know what? That's what happens when you have rich people living in caves.
So. Yeah.
Alfred's up there slaving over a hot beef.
I believe that's why Brucey keeps him around. Alfred's really good with a hot beef.
Well, somebody ought to be in this household. Jeez.
Well, I know that I had messaged Todd an interview that Keanu Reeves gave us the week on Bill and Ted 3 being in the works.
That is a true statement. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You know, I'm not even sure what they're going to call it.
Fan-frickin-tabulous Adventure.
Yeah. Bogus Journey, Excellent Adventure, and Deuterific 40s? I don't know.
I don't know.
Literally, you can find on the internet.
Bill and Ted go to the Matrix.
Bill and Ted finally unplug.
No, they talk about, and at some, and this is what's awesome about this. I think it's actually originally an MTV clip, because it's some guy who's like 22.
Yeah.
And you realize at a certain point, I don't know if you were even born when the original came out.
If he's even seen. I mean, I think most people that are younger than us.
My sisters haven't.
Seen it.
Yeah.
You are kidding me.
If not, no. It's our fault for not telling them that they need to, because if they weren't born or old enough at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that if I were to show it to the younger people in my family, they wouldn't think it's funny.
That's true. Some things don't withstand the test of time.
How can you not think that battling death for your freedom is not funny? And for every time he loses, he does the best of three, best of five.
Okay, that is funny.
And then he gets to the point where he's like, dude, I don't know, best of 13? You're damn right!
See, I just don't know if that sort of dude,
where's my
thing
phone?
Still... Okay, that wasn't funny either. Bill and Ted was funny. I don't know if people younger than us, and we are all late 20s to mid 30s. I don't know that people younger than us.
Paula, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. Have you seen both of them, Lisa?
Ahead of ourselves. Have I seen both what?
Bill and Ted movies.
Yes, I have. Yes, yes,
now,
yes.
Did you find them funny? Prior to Todd.
Oh, yeah. We've never watched them together. I saw them when I was growing up. I mean, I'm 25 years old on the dot. Starting now. But, you know...
I have been for the last 3 years.
bringing up Dude, Where's My Car, I actually enjoyed that movie, but then I enjoyed it better when they redid it as The Hangover. So I feel like, you know, maybe they're going to update, you know, a little bit the Bill and Ted franchise for those younger kids.
According to the interview, Keanu Reeves says that it is the original writers from the first... two movies.
Which actually, I'm happy to hear that.
Right, yeah. And say what you want, but basically, if you really plot out Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, it is Dante's Inferno.
Oh, yeah.
It follows the storyline. Or no, it's the Divine Comedy, not just the Inferno. It has the Inferno.
It goes through the Inferno and Purgatory.
Big, red source of all evil!
I actually want to watch that again.
I think maybe we should watch these, because it's been probably, I don't even want to think about how long it's been since I've seen these movies.
We can judge whether or not they do withstand the test of time, and whether or not we should get like a 13-year-old to watch them with us.
I'm actually curious to see, I have a 13-year-old brother.
Is this funny?
Wait a second, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you think this is funny, and just take notes? Why don't you think this is funny? This is amazing!
Have the writers done other movies since then?
I don't know.
Or has it just been like question. They've spent the last 15 years waiting to do this third movie?
I'm sure they have. It's always the same. It's always the same pool of writers that from that area.
Everything.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Maybe.
They talk about how in the first and second movie, it's Bad Dog. Bill and Ted.
Batmite won't shut up.
Right. In the first and second movie, Bill and Ted write the song that changes the world to bring about worldwide peace. It causes the planets to align and meaningful communication from the everyday house pets to other alien species. It's this whole big thing. Well, supposedly, according to Keanu at least, the big premise is they still haven't written that movie. And there's, as he understands it from the little bit of the screenplay he knows about, that's going to be kind of the point of the movie, or the main plot point, is them trying to find the inspiration and continually trying to write the song that changes the universe.
Greatest song in the world.
I really do not remember that. I do not remember those movies being that epic, like in scope. Apparently, I've blocked most of it out.
Yeah, we are going to have to watch this.
I guess so.
Like their entire society and both movies are based off of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, and that's why they're worships.
It's based off a premise that was true in my time, just as it's true today. Be excellent to each other.
That's right.
So says Abraham Lincoln.
And party on, dude! <new! laughs>
Stop. I'm pretty excited about, speaking of sequels or prequels, I'm pretty excited about The Hobbit.
Yes. Yeah! I've been looking forward to that, like, since forever. Like, I really, really would love to see that happen in the very near future.
Pretty much since I was 6, I think. I've been waiting for them to make a movie.
Are they using the same Bilbo Baggins as the previous? Like, as they used...
No, they are using Martin Freeman?
Yes.
Who played...
For some reason, I'm thinking Morgan Freeman.
He was Arthur in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay. Oh, ooh,
he's
I like
in
him.
That new Sherlock Holmes series, which I haven't seen, but I've heard is really good.
And he's the also in the original Office.
Okay, okay.
And he was the naked guy in Love Actually.
The naked
stunt double. Like the body double.
Honestly, anytime you say the naked guy, man, we're back to The Hangover for me at least.
I have never seen The Hangover.
You're kidding!
No!
The naked Asian guy?
He's on Community. He's on Community, the same guy.
I need to watch Community. I've heard excellent things about Community.
Community is very funny.
Do you realize that guy is actually a medical doctor? Like, went to medical school and was a practitioner. Like a family practitioner, and then apparently started taking little roles on things like that.
Sounds like Tobias from...
Funke.
Yeah, it's Tobias from, what's that called?
He's an
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development. who's a doctor and then just decides to be an actor.
Oh, well, I just blew myself.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he was an hour pest originally.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the world's first an hour pest.
Yeah.
Here's my card.
It was a great episode.
I vividly remember my cousin describing that scene for my super conservative mother, line by line. And then he's like, and his card says anal rapist.
Basically, have you guys watched it? I'm getting like way off topic, but have you guys ever seen Arrested Development?
Yes.
Okay. I've just barely started watching the
episode. Okay, well,
I've seen like stray episodes here and there when it was on TV, but honestly, it was one of those deals where I found it on Netflix the other day and just barely started watching.
Oh, it's so funny.
Between that and Trailer Park Boys.
Is that any good?
It is. It's the camera work of Reno 911 with like the characterization of Always Sunny.
Okay.
All right.
Set in a Canadian trailer park.
Wild card!
Yeah, set in a Canadian trailer park with a bunch of Canadian white trash.
It's
actually pretty entertaining. Give it about to episode 3. If you don't dig it by episode 3, you're probably not going to like it.
Okay.
I was shocked to find out, speaking of Always Sunny, the guy that plays Rickety Cricket on Sunny is married to the chick that plays Bones on Bones.
What?
He's also one of the writers on It's Always Sunny.
Emily Deschanel.
Emily Deschanel, yeah. They're having a baby. They've been married a while. They're having a baby. So apparently, in my mind, she's... was not all that funny, but she's got to have a sense of humor
to be
married to him.
Yeah.
Well, is she related to that girl from Elf?
She is her sister.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
And she's
well, that's
also
why I made the connection. Thank
singer.
You, Lisa.
I really liked her.
Lisa's here to connect the dots for us.
Oh, man.
Who is also in Hitchhikers.
Yes,
that's right. She's Trillian. Yeah. And
oh, wait, you guys are talking about
the
remake one. I'm thinking of the British one from the 80s. I'm sorry.
The remake one. Yeah.
The remake one with Mos Def.
Now, yeah, the original Hitchhikers from the 80s was actually written by Douglas Adams.
Yes.
Well,
he helped with this one, too, I thought.
I think he was dead when this one
came out.
Yeah,
he was dead.
I think he's
pretty
dead.
Really? I mean, he didn't help with the script at all?
I don't think
so,
but
I actually... writing the original source material.
Oh, I mean, obviously, but...
But I actually thought that the new one was funnier than the old one.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
I especially liked how they worked in the Dolphins.
Yeah!
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So long.
Thanks for all the fish. Like yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. And then the whale falling from the sky, which I don't remember. I believe I read the book in high school, but it's been a long, long time. But I never saw the original movie.
I also feel like if you can make Alan Rickman be a sad robot in anything, it will improve it.
Fuck yes. That was my
the original
character.
Is basically like an old like 70s style Doctor Who special effects.
Yeah.
But with like that like 70s style like Monty Python
sense of humor
delivery.
Yeah.
I just for some reason did not find it as funny as the new one. And I love the book. It's not, I just didn't find it as funny. I don't know why. Because I'm a bad person.
I will say that I do like the president. Oh, damn it. I just forgot.
Oh, he was in
Ford?
Moon and.
Say what?
Zephyr?
Yeah.
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Yeah.
The guy, it's.
Sam Rockwell,
yeah.
He's amazing.
I think he's one of my new favorite hidden actors because, like, slowly but surely, I'm like, I find stuff I'm like, yeah, that was really, oh my god, that was him. Yeah, that was, oh my god, that was him too.
He should have won an Oscar for Moon.
Oh yeah.
So good in Moon.
I
don't think people saw it.
I don't think I saw Moon.
I would have been okay for him winning
really
an Oscar
sad.
For Ironing Man too.
Ironing Man too.
Yeah.
Okay, you've always referred to this as Ironing Man. I've never asked why. Why do you refer to it as Ironing Man?
Because it's a funny joke that one of my friends said one night when we were drunk and watching a bootleg copy from Asia.
All right. Well,
it was literally still in theaters, and I had seen it in theaters, and then the next weekend we were at his house drinking, and...
Well.
Yeah.
Never mind. Cool story.
You're the one who brought it up.
I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah. Well, it grew in popularity because Todd and I both are like, we iron a lot. Like, we're not... Like, We're the kind of people who just like to iron our shit, like in general, like our things, our clothes.
There is no one in real life like that. No one likes to iron.
It's meditative.
True. Like, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a zen experience for me.
Like he irons his jeans.
I found out by accident. I had to like go to a job interview or something and like.
And you accidentally found out that it's like.
I really, really, truly enjoy ironing. I don't like doing any other housework, but.
If I bring mine over, will you iron?
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Like, when I've been at my most distraught, like, I find that I end up ironing until, like, 6 a.m. And it's like, well, all these useless clothes that I have nowhere to wear anywhere are now nice and straight.
It's something about, like, the wrinkles and, like the disorganization of the fabric and then, like, causing everything to, like, smooth out and be at one.
So, like, the rest of your house could be on fire, but at least all your clothes are nice and you've control.
So, Lisa is rooming with me at Dragon Con. I know I'm not going to have to iron a single one of my costumes.
Ironing woman.
The Ironettes. There was actually a whole group of the Ironettes dancers from Ironing Man 2 at Dragon Con last year.
That's a good question. Why was there never a female Iron Man? There was like a female every character.
There was a female version of War Machine. As far as Iron Man goes, I don't know. But the female version of War Machine was actually what's-his-name's daughter. She was too busy ironing.
She's occupied.
You can come out to fight crime as soon as you're done with your chores.
But I did go to the movies this past weekend.
Okay.
And I saw Battle LA. Have any of you guys seen it?
No.
No, not yet.
Oh. What did you think of it?
I feel like that would be really good because the alien section of it, but I'll also honest, feel like
the aliens could be replaced with people or anything, and it would have been the same movie.
I have a question.
When you say people,
I mean aliens were just kind of a vehicle for the characters and the save the world type story.
So the aliens could have instead been like a really bad storm.
Yeah, they could have been Russians, or they could have been
Nazis.
Go ahead and say Mexicans, because that's what you're thinking.
This is not an episode of Top Gear. We're not going to insult the Mexicans.
It's either that or the Muslims.
Aliens.
I don't.
They were illegal aliens, and it could have been the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So, aliens, illegal aliens, and Mexicans aside, what do you think of the movie? Okay.
not to give spoilers in case people want to see it still, because it is still in the theaters. They come here for water. War of the Worlds, obviously.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's basically what they insinuate.
They're parts.
It is the universal solvent.
It's overused.
It is.
No.
I feel like it would be better if they came for something like unobtainium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like in Avatar.
And you take Aaron Eckhart, which is actually really good in this role. He's always good, though, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he's basically leads this group of soldiers to fight back against these aliens. They discover a way to destroy their mother's ships, in which case they then tell everyone else and they destroy all the rest of them, and they win.
So it's Independence Day.
Without cigars and Jeff Goldblum.
Welcome to Earth!
Is Wilson
in it?
No.
Damn it.
But Michelle Rodriguez is.
Yes, and she...
Spoiler alert, does she die?
No.
She has a tendency to die.
First movie ever, she did not die.
Yeah.
And she actually plays a role where she... Usually she plays kind of unintelligent, action...
Hardcore
women. Even like in Law, she was a cop and was still kind of rough and tough. She actually plays like a semi-intelligent technical officer.
Oh, good for her.
Which is definitely a little bit different than I was expecting from her.
I don't think she's necessarily plays unintelligent parts just so much as, like, kind of driven parts, you know, that want to...
She's a hardcore badass, not necessarily stupid, but she's, like, she's clearly more action-oriented, you know.
So in this, she's, like, more of a Tosh.
Yeah, well, she's, like, she handles sending the radio signal back to the home base and things like that, where...
Does she wear glasses?
No, not that I recall.
I don't know.
Sometimes she's super hot, sometimes not.
I liked her in Resident Evil. I
liked her in that too.
I agree.
But she got killed in that, didn't she?
Well, she got zombified and then did the finish me off before I come.
Is anybody else ready for that not to be the thing that always happens in zombie movies?
As soon as every time there's a submarine movie, they don't do the shh shh shh.
Yeah.
As soon as they're done with that cliche, then we'll move on to the zombie cliche.
One at a time.
I understand it as, like, a dramatic tool, but really it happens in, like, every zombie movie now. Like, somebody close to you gets bitten, and they ask you to kill them, and there's, like, a huge hesitation, and then finally you kill them, which, I don't know.
It's been a funny sort of day, hasn't it?
Oh, my God. I'm homeless. They've destroyed my house. I don't have any money. Does anyone have any change? Can you guys spare some change? It's from the South Park zombie episode.
Oh, okay.
I was like, where is he going with this change you can believe in? I don't know.
No, it's the exact same motif that you're talking about. Just he becomes homeless and then...
And I've been rewatching the South Park lately, but...
Speaking of rewatching, I'm still about a season and a half behind on Doctor Who.
What? How is that possible?
Well, I don't have cable. And they don't just put it online like on Hulu. It's really hard to find.
I need to have you over because I DVR all the reruns. I DVR everything that's Doctor Who, Torchwood related.
It's not on Netflix or anything, is it?
I don't believe so. I've just seen it through the BBC. Oh, some of the movies are actually available on Netflix.
Okay, I've seen some of the movies.
Actually, I think all the seasons except the new one with Matt Smith is available on Netflix.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, that's the one I'm behind on.
Oh, that's the only one you need. That one's shorter.
Yeah,
right?
I only saw the first episode with the Raggedy Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that episode, but I haven't seen anything past that. And there's a new season that's about to start.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about the new season. I think me and every other Doctor Who fan is, like, long awaited this new season. There were a lot of changes between the David Tennant Doctor and the Matt Smith Doctor, but I'm still really excited about this series, so, in general, I can't wait.
You mean changes like fancy painted Daleks?
I thought that's what Lisa did.
Yeah, I do paint Daleks whenever the occasion strikes me, but no, the different Daleks, I hope that isn't the way that they did that, which I'm not sure if you're not up to speed on that.
No, but I mean, I've heard at this point, I'm, you know, a season and a half behind or whatever, so I can't worry too much about spoilers.
Well, they brought in the new Daleks somewhere in that season, and the thing I don't like about them, because they're freaking adorable, they're still, like, very, very similar, brightly colored, they look like toys, the voices are a little deeper and different.
Really?
And, yeah, to very noticeable. And I, up until now, I liked that the previous Daleks had the same voices of the ones in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's what all my toys say. Like, when I push the buttons on my remote-controlled Daleks at home and I'm just used to that voice, I kind of like it a little bit more high-pitched. So I hope that the new Daleks aren't a replacement, but there's going to be several different types of Daleks. Like, they're still going to have the original style in that universe.
Well, I'm, like, 3 seasons behind, so...
So, are you watching a Tennant season, or are you still on Christopher
Who's
Eccleston?
The companion?
That would be Tennant, if he's like 3 seasons.
Yeah, who's the companion?
Who's the companion?
Redhead? Donna Noble?
Martha Jones?
He's Redhead.
Okay, it's Donna Noble.
Donna Noble has been saved.
She's terrible.
I'm sorry, did you say Donna is terrible?
I'm pretty sure I didn't stutter.
Don't try to argue her.
Donna Noble is terrible. She's an awful character.
No, don't even.
It's terrible.
For the podcast,
unwatchable.
Amber, like, jaw just dropped, and she's like,
"I don't see how that makes an intelligible argument."
I'm in shock.
I would have loved to have 3 seasons of Martha Jones. More interesting potential character instead of I'm this throw-off character that we brought back to somehow build up to be the savior of the universe. Like, I don't.
Okay, I think Martha got shafted as far as characters go, because they made her sort of be, you know, like, oh, I'm so in love with the Doctor, blah, 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 when she really could have been a good, solid character in her own right. However, Donna was independent, she was funny, she had no romantic interest in the Doctor. She's awesome.
No. Martha Jones is an intelligent doctor, literally.
I'm not saying she's not intelligent, I'm saying they
Donna Noble's a spoiled little jerk.
She's not a jerk.
Oh, she's a bitch. Sorry. We won't split hairs on this one. We'll agree to disagree with her squinty little eyes.
The thing about
Martha...
Oh
my gosh!
No, Martha Jones was one of my favorite. I think she's gorgeous, I think she's intelligent, I think she had a lot of potential, but I don't think the writers put a lot of thought into her. I think she
was
not...
one-dimensional until,
exactly.
Until, like, 3 episodes till the end of the season, and they're like, oh wait, we're gonna put a big bug on her back, and now she's gonna be part of the end of the
universe.
Donna,
Martha. Dork.
Martha was a throwaway character.
They gave her a lot of potential, and they talked about all the ways that she was cool without actually giving you any depth in any of those. Martha, I loved her to pieces. I thought she potentially could have been my favorite all-time companion. I thought she had a lot of... I thought she was going to be really cool, and in general, like, I feel like she's really cool, but the substance just isn't there with Martha.
They didn't give her the credit that the character deserved.
They didn't give her the attention. They didn't fill her out. Like, she to me, felt one-dimensional, and then they would talk about all these different ways that she's, you know, cool, and I couldn't buy it. I when I tried to watch her, knowing that she's supposed to be smart, knowing that she's supposed to be a doctor, knowing that, you know, even when she would save the day, it just, I didn't feel like she had enough substance.
Because they acted like her whole reason for being there was that she was crushing on the doctor, and she acted all jealous and petty every time they mentioned Rose.
Yeah.
Of course she was a blonde, blah, 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 which was totally unnecessary.
Yeah, and I feel like they, when they would show little clips that didn't actually have, like, a full storyline, like, which one is it? The one with, Blink, when they show the clips, and Martha's in, like, she looks adorable, and then, like, they show the clips of her running at the end, and they're, like, about to, like, stop some kind of migration, and, you know, she's got, like, a crossbow or something, and it's like, there's all these little clips of her being cool mm-hmm. without actually having the filler in between of her making her into a complete character.
Yeah, I love sounds the character. Like I liked...
Absolutely.
But the thing about Donna at least seemed like a real person to me.
Yeah.
I liked her, and I think she, like...
A real person actually, I would have pushed out into space.
No, she was sarcastic, and she thought for herself, and she was funny.
She was the only one who really stood up to this.
And she had a lot of heart, and the longer that the series goes on, Tennant's doctor starts to become kind of a... Sometimes he's kind of a dick, and sometimes he's, you know, willing to make the tough decision, which is, like, the bad decision. Donna was the one who would stand up to him, like, that's not right. And I respected her. I thought she was a good companion. You know, she's not my favorite, but I dug her, you know, and I think that they actually spent time developing her as a believable character.
She actually is my favorite. I loved her.
She was really funny.
I will watch these, and I will let you know what
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we'll need you to weigh in on it.
I'll see if she's a bitch or not.
I'm going to rewatch this season with a notepad.
Absolutely,
sure. Well, nobody's arguing that she's argumentative and strong-willed.
Yeah, she's not a Mary Sue. She's not, like, no, fucking, gosh, like, perfect. No, yeah. But she's funny and realistic. So, I mean, I'm okay with somebody being kind of self-centered and kind of a bitch and kind of sarcastic and not, you know, always
see,
just
I don't think she was
speech.
Realistic, though. That's part of the thing.
Oh, see, I absolutely did. I think she was one of the few characters that could actually have stood on her own.
Because she was pretty headstrong and...
I don't think we're talking about the same series here.
I have a feeling that this is...
Redhead Catherine Tate!
I have a feeling that this is something we are probably not going to work out on the podcast.
That's probably good, yeah.
To be continued.
We will rewatch the episodes. Yeah. We will make an informed... decision.
But, you know, the point being, we are all, in our own way, excited about the new series.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, Matt Smith, it's a revamp of the series, more or less. You know, it's fresh, and I miss David Tennant, and I miss all that, but I do think it's moving in a direction that's positive, so I'm excited about the new upcoming episodes with Matt Smith. Those start April 23rd, is that mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then, of course, Torchwood, which I was starting to doubt that they were going to bring back at all. Like, with the way that Children of Earth ended?
Jane Espenson is helping to write it. Miss Buffy and Firefly and...
Hell yeah.
...Catholica herself. She's pretty awesome, so I might actually start watching Torchwood again.
Yeah, I feel like there's not a lot of more damage they can do to Torchwood, because they basically killed all the intelligent, interesting characters off.
Way to jinx it.
Yeah. But
I've never really watched Torchwood.
Well, I'd like to point out that Mr. Independence Day himself, Bill Pullman, is in the new series of Torchwood.
President Pullman! I'm excited. I'm so excited. And Captain Jack, you know, I have the utmost faith in him to carry the series, no matter, you know, how many excellent characters they bring in and decide to kill off or whatever. This, you know, I miss Tosh and I miss Owen and I love them, but July 8th, Miracle Day premieres, and I'm going to fucking be there. I'm so excited.
Captain Jack is going to live on. He's going to survive. Today he celebrates his Miracle Day.
So, and there are, like, teaser trailers for both of these upcoming series that you guys can find online, as well as, like, there's actually a Doctor Who short, which kind of brings up the, kind of leads into the new series, so I'm excited about that as well, so.
Speaking of trailers, I sent it to Todd, and I think you guys watched as well, the Green Lantern trailer?
Yes.
Now, tell me, Todd, first, what did you think?
Okay.
Because you're the Green Lantern guy.
Here's the deal. Literally, after the last time we actually got together and sat down and did one of these, like, room podcasts, I was talking to Lisa, and I was saying, you know, I've got faith in this thing, but I'm scared to death that they're just going to ignore all this history and make another dumb, here's a big flashy sci-fi you know, or not even sci-fi, a big superhero blockbuster, and it's going to be one-dimensional. It's going to be terrible.
Right?
They're going to gloss over Oa. They're not even going to. There may be a passing shot of the core to give you the idea of it, but it's not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. At this point, this trailer has got me. I'm on board.
It looks pretty authentic to the origin story.
There's a few liberties taken with it, but at least from the way the trailer looks.
Yeah.
But I'm still okay with that. I think it's accomplishing the goal.
I was blown away by the shots of the core at Oa. There's just thousands and thousands of them, and they all look. I mean, it looked just like I pictured it. Actually, a little prettier than I pictured it.
It looks gorgeous.
Yes, it looks amazing. I am really excited.
It looks like a huge speaking role for Tomare.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Todd was worried.
Yeah, absolutely. it's one of those things where he's an integral character, but like, mm-hmm. what happens? You know, what if they just gloss over him and you know they? It's all Sinestro and Hal.
Which I can see them doing. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That, and that's what I was afraid it was going to be. One of the things I was a little fuzzy about was the first time I watched literally four times in a row when I first saw it. The lantern design was funny to me. But after watching it and thinking about it a little bit, I really like the lantern design, I think.
I think it's beautiful.
It gives the impression of alien technology that just happens to sort of kind of look like an Earth lantern.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's just by happenstance, it's shaped that way. I don't know. It works for me. The little spaceship that Abin Sur.
Yeah, it was cool looking too.
Yeah.
Now, when he's doing the, reciting the phrase...
the oath.
His eyes. When his eyes go white. That's awesome. So cool.
Well, and I like Ryan Reynolds. I'm not hugely impressed with his acting ability most of the time. It doesn't really matter to me. But he looked genuinely moved when he was saying the, in brightest day, in blackest night. I mean, and it, I was really impressed. I'm really excited for this now.
In general, I think I'm excited to see that the sci-fi elements that, you want to see in a Green Lantern movie, and it's not just like a Superman movie, like rehashed, and he's in a different costume. Like, I'm really excited that it looks like good sci-fi, so.
Yeah. and I was very pleased that one of my least favorite actresses, who they cast as Carol Ferris, I don't think she was in that preview at all. So, it was pretty awesome.
Carol Ferris just dies in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh, man. This test has gone horribly awry.
Are you okay, lady? So,
I'm fine.
All in all, high hopes for this movie. The new trailer looks fantastic.
I'm excited for June.
Yes. Yep. After the first trailer, I'm very happy to see this one. Very made me...
Seriously, at this point, you probably should put this on pause and open up a web browser there. It's on YouTube. It's on IO9, I think, is the link you sent me.
Yes, it was on IO9.
You can also Google.
I know you're not supposed to. We're not supposed to advertise other people's websites, but IO9.com's got it.
I think you can also Google Green Lantern Preview WonderCon, because I think that's where they showed it.
Okay.
But it's heads and tails, literally exponentially better than
absolutely.
The first one.
Yeah.
And still funny, still entertaining, but also still serious and filled with gravity and filled with.
Like, substance. Like, if you were nervous after watching the first trailer, this will help.
Yeah. It looks like they're really doing... They're paying tribute to the comics.
It's like, they read the book.
They actually read the comics.
Now, there's another trailer that is out. Captain America.
Okay.
Have any of you guys seen that one?
Yeah, actually.
I have seen it one time. Okay. I'll be honest with you.
I think I've only seen it once or twice.
Yeah. It looks cool from what I saw. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, I was a little fuzzy with what time period it's supposed to be taking place in, but it looks really good. It looks like it gives that impression of the old 40s one. It didn't look like they were fighting Nazis, though. I didn't see a single swastika.
I think they're maybe trying to avoid the whole Nazi thing, but I think they're
fighting Red Skull and Hydra. Now, one thing that I think they could have done in that trailer was maybe actually show Red Skull a little bit. It just looked like, you know, you had the skinny weakling Steve, then the serum, and then he's shooting a bunch of guns. They didn't really show any of the bad guys.
He kept throwing that shield around too, like,
yeah,
Xena style. Like,
yeah,
I can't remember the actor's name. Who's playing that, though?
Hugo Weaving.
Oh, Captain America.
Oh, Hugo Weaving.
It's Johnny Storm.
Johnny Storm. Yeah, it's Johnny Storm.
I can't remember. I was actually very nervous really after he went from that role to this one.
Because, yeah.
I'm not a big Captain America fan. I didn't like the character.
It's Chris something.
I'm sure someone will tell us.
Yes.
Like, which weird is, like, my separate group of friends know this guy, like, because they're in love with him. My nerdy friends who I prefer to spend my time with don't know his name. But they were all in love with him long before it was the Human Torch. And they only saw that movie because
the Human Torch, it was an okay character, and he was okay. It was mediocre, at best.
Yeah.
But I actually think he looks like he might be better as Captain America.
He might be. I still, after all this time, really question the decision to make Johnny Storm.
Johnny the Human Torch Storm.
Captain America, though. I mean, like, they couldn't find any other beefy blonde actors to play him.
Yeah, they seem to want to use all the same actors for all the superheroes, like Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is in a bunch of superhero movies. Obviously, Chris Evans is going to be the same way.
Snap, way to pull that out of thin air.
So these are the teeny bopper, like, boy crazy friends I'm talking about. Todd's one of them. He's got a big poster of him over his bed.
And you're talking about the Red Skull. If you watch the trailer real close,
he is in it very
briefly.
For a
quick second, you see him grab his neck with the mask.
Yeah.
But you don't actually see what the Red Skull is going to actually look like.
You've got to applaud the casting of Hugo Weaving. He's...
Yes.
Awesome and everything. V for Vendetta, all of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Smith, or whatever his name is.
He's Mr. Smith, but he says Mr. Anderson.
The thing he says, Mr. Anderson.
Yes. How can you speak if you don't? I don't. How can you make a phone call if you can not speak?
No, I'm a huge Hugo Weaving fan. And the more stuff I see him in, the more I love him.
Yeah, he's excellent.
And V for Vendetta, absolutely. Like, I don't think I've had a crush on a guy like that. And at the time, I was working at the movie theater.
A horrible burn victim? You've never had a horrible crush on a burn victim?
Yeah, not like that. But, you know what I mean. Like, just that character in general, everything about him, I thought he was just amazing. And his portrayal of him was excellent.
Was it him or the guy Foxman?
No.
I want to say it was Hugo Weaving because The Matrix, struck me the same way. And,
Todd could wear a Guy Fawkes mask.
Probably will.
I think a lot of people could wear a Guy Fawkes mask, but now I associate that with internet trolls, which is kind of a turnoff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think she ever goes to 4chan, so I don't think she likes...
But I remember when that movie came out, I was working at the theater, so I saw V for Vendetta like 8 times for free. Yep. Like, and my friend, good friend Julia, she was just like nerd-gasming over him as well, the way I was. So.
It was worth it. That movie was amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
See, there's another comic book movie that just... If everyone could be that good, like, that would be lovely.
I think it makes a huge difference if you read the comic before you go to make a movie about the comic.
Yeah.
You know, really? And you can tell the ones where they did.
Yep, I agree.
It's not like a caricature of the comic. It's the emotion. It's the comic. It is only on screen the way that the nerds want to envision it.
Speaking of reading a comic before making a movie, Stan Lee recently said that he wanted to be in the next Batman movie. He wanted a cameo in it.
Brilliant!
And everybody loves Stan Lee. I love Stan Lee. Stan Lee essentially founded Marvel. Stan Lee does nothing but bitch and make fun of DC Comics. And for some reason, that whole, like, I want to be in the Batman movie made me want to punch him in the throat.
Well, is this him just saying that, or do you think Christopher Nolan will actually, like, put him in?
He better not. I'm sure he was just saying that. I don't know how you could get... When I was at Dragon Con, he was going on and on, like, in his panels, he'd say stuff like, we named our comic company Marvel, and then they named theirs DC, and what a stupid fucking name that is. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, they weren't always DC, though, were they?
No, they... Well...
They were something else before, then they changed over.
I think they were,
They got rid of, whenever they did the big changeover.
And, Stan Lee isn't even with Marvel anymore, so it's not like...
Which may be a point in his favor for being in, like, a DC movie.
It would be funny, it's just...
It would be funny.
No.
It would be weird.
No, he's in enough movies. If you want to see him again, go watch Mallrats. He's excellent in Mallrats.
He's excellent in Mallrats.
But, no, please leave Batman alone.
Yeah.
He can't just be, like, the bus driver in Gotham for, like, a scene? Or, like, a part of a scene?
And then somebody comes along and punches him in the throat. And it's me.
Maybe Christopher Nolan.
Maybe he could be Bane's first victim. I make comic books. This one, he was bit by a spider, and this one, he was bit by a hornet.
He was bit by a hornet.
And this one was bit by a cat.
That's it. The end.
Todd the Fox stars in the Stan Lee story. And I made comic books and figured out how to make money.
That Stan Lee impression was actually worse than all of my impressions.
Yeah, it was.
I love Stan Lee.
What it was though. So,
no, I love Stan Lee too. It just
he's got that weird breathless delivery. Is what it is. The when he talks, he runs out of breath and then keeps hawking.
Because he's 98 years old.
What do you want from him?
Less movie roles.
See, I disagree. I think you should put him in like all the movies he wants to.
Every movie coming out.
If it's a Marvel movie, I think, yes, they should put him in every single one of them. But I think he should stay away from the DC movies.
He should have been in Paul. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he should have been in Paul.
I'm actually surprised that we didn't see... like.
No, Paul. All the references in Paul, though, were all like... 70s
cinema.
And 80s.
There are a lot of cinema references, too.
No, it was like all like alien movies from the 70s and
80s. Yeah, and Stanley wasn't so big on aliens.
No.
At least not that I can recall.
Well, but I made this character that was an actor, and he wanted to be an actor, but no one knew who he was. He was mysterious, so we called him Mysterio.
Please, no one link this to Stan Lee's Twitter. Thank you.
You know, my impression of him sounds a lot like Torgo from Manos the Hands of Fate.
I think so, yeah.
So no, Master will be back in a moment.
I was going to say, it sounds a lot like Forrest Gump to me, which is like double offense.
We really need to do a Manos Hands of Fate episode.
Oh my God, we need to record.
I don't know I can make it through that again. I have it, and I've made it through it twice, and that's pretty rough.
No, I'm sure if you get enough alcohol, you can make it.
I've never seen that one, actually.
I am not kidding. He talks like this.
I've seen parts of Manos, The Hands of Fate, but I've never seen the Mystery Science Theater version.
If we watch it, we're going to watch the normal version, and we're going to do our own Mystery Science
Theater. Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. That's going to happen.
Gotcha.
Or Riff Tracks, as they call it.
Yeah, it's Riff Tracks now, yeah.
Some of the listeners now call it.
I did see...
I think that's just the name.
They don't sound, I don't know, I think there should be something cooler than that. Riff Tracks just sound kind of...
I think we ought to do the Twilight movies.
No!
Oh my God, no, yes, we should do those. Because if you think my Stan Lee impression's great, think of my Edward impression. Blah, I'm a vampire and I'm sexy. Blah. I am a teenage heartthrob. Blah.
I watch you sleep.
I'm about to sparkle this room. Blah.
I am hideous. Don't look at me. I sparkle.
How old are you? I am 17.
Blah.
How long have you been 17? For a long time.
17.
17.
Plus 99.
I am jealous of your wolfman friend. Blah.
Have you actually watched them, Todd?
No.
Okay.
All I've done is just mock them relentlessly.
I snuck booze into the theater, and I did see it.
So what did you think about Twilight?
Oh, gosh, they're awful. I didn't see the third one, but the first one was really funny because I took a drinking game list and just... took a drink every time.
So that's a good idea.
That is okay. Lisa will be crying in the background as we're trying to watch Twilight. Because when I get drunk, I get uber emotional. And
it was actually one of the best theater going experiences I've ever had. Except that when I drink, I get louder and a little mean. And everybody in there was under 14. And so by the time we left... By the time we left... either they just thought I was just really mean, or I was drunk and mean, both of which are true. And I thought those 14-year-olds were gonna shiv me in the bathroom.
Well, fortunately, they did not, because you went on to co-direct a podcast.
That's right.
I haven't watched any of these, but I do want to ask you, since you have seen these, Amber,
mm-hmm.
I get the impression that this sets back the sexual revolution in any any idea of like feminine rights by about 25 years.
I wouldn't say the sexual revolution. Certainly,
the vampire.
No, it's like implied to be like the vampirism and her being tempted by it, but like not actually giving. That's the whole virginity.
Not giving
motif,
in until
right?
they get married. Yeah, I just
Are
don't.
Are you serious? She doesn't. She holds out until then.
Yes. Oh no. Yeah, that's she does.
Well, I did the same
thing.
He
won't turn her into a vampire until they get married. He also will not have sex with her until they get married.
I'm pretty sure that's a setback for the male revolution.
No. The man is strong and powerful, and the woman is a little stupid and pretty weak, and is just waiting on him to sweep her off her feet and
but
save
she's
her.
She's so
like,
pretty!
She's not, though.
She's not.
They point out that she's not pretty because she is based exactly on... She is the ultimate in Mary Sue characters. The writer is a Mormon. She looks just like the main character, Bella. She had a dream about this guy, Edward, and then wrote this fan fiction, this hugely popular fan fiction. I would not let my teenage girls read it until they were older because of that. Yes, I don't think... They seem to indicate that it's okay to be in a relationship where the man tells you exactly what to do.
And he doesn't let you date a werewolf.
He doesn't let you date a werewolf.
Fuck that guy.
He watches you while you sleep and stalks you, and then when he leaves... You cry for 6 solid months and then try to kill yourself. And that is completely okay.
That's really what happens.
Every breath you take.
I don't... Exactly.
Every
Does it what?
That's what happens, really?
Yeah.
I actually want to see these now. Does she actually kill herself?
No. No, they end up getting married. Wow. I don't have a problem with the whole, like, waiting for sex until you get married, all that stuff. That's... fine with me. It's just the way he treats her. He treats her like crap and she takes it because she loves him so much. And he only treats her like that
because
he loves
out.
Her. No. No, he won't let her put out. She keeps trying.
Blah, put your pants back on.
Blah, don't kiss me like that. No, it's not a portrayal of a healthy relationship.
What are you, some kind of hussy? Blah.
Which is not saying that you have to have a portrayal of a healthy relationship in a book, because you don't. But it is portrayed as the ideal relationship. He stalks her, he doesn't want her to have contact with other men, and then he leaves her for a while and she almost kills herself.
I see.
See, I wouldn't be as worried about, like, kids seeing that, or younger audience, because I watched Labyrinth growing up, and I went back to watch that recently and learned, like, Sarah's a freaking annoying bitch. And
yeah.
She does not care about the well-being of her little brother. She's spoiled.
Oh, she's awful,
she
yeah.
She whines constantly, and she, you know, like, all she talks about is, like, maybe I take too many things for granted. Like, going back and watching that, I was like, what is wrong with this girl? And that never affected me. I didn't, like, learn that this is the way that a girl is supposed to act.
Actually, I guess there are upshots to letting your kid read something like that if you're reading it along with them and you talk about it later. Sometimes it's better not to cut kids off from something completely. Sometimes it's better for them to learn about it and then you talk about it.
Yeah.
So what you should do is let your kids listen to this podcast and how we derisively make fun of this nonsense. Then they can see it, and then they can laugh along with us.
That's
and
right.
We laugh along as a family.
That's yes. Right. The family
experience.
That laughs together, podcasts together.
Or watch Twilight followed almost immediately by, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Or
you're
take your kids to see
vampires.
Twilight.
Fall in love.
Just make sure you bring enough booze for both of you.
Yeah.
That's right.
But,
Mommy, I thought I was going to like that movie, but every time I think of it, I have to throw up again.
It'd be like when you drink a certain alcohol and then you get turned off from that. It's
mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. If you have enough, you could do this.
I think it's a good plan.
But you know what's kind of new that I thought would be kind of a cool girl power movie was the Sucker Punch. And I've heard, like, polar opposites that it's excellent, like, from, you know, my nerdy girlfriends.
I've heard that too.
But then also, it's freaking terrible. So, anybody seen that one?
I have seen that one, and you will have to wait till the next episode of Jump Drive Radio to find out what I think about it. So you have 1 week to go watch Sucker Punch. I'm sure it'll be still in theaters.
I'm going to take you up on good. That. I'm going to go see it this week.
I'll go.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to give any spoilers. I want to discuss this with you guys.
Okay.
So I don't want to ruin you guys. That's the only reason I don't want to talk about
it
right
watch
now.
It.
One of the characters' names is Amber.
That is true. That is true. Pay attention. Watch the trailer on YouTube first.
Okay.
And then go see the movie. That way you'll see this is the way trailers should be done, because it teased you and gave you a flavor of the movie, and then watch how the plot works. It's really clever the way they twist it around.
Okay.
Don't go in there expecting Shakespeare.
Well, I think that's given. It
Shakespeare
is Zack Snyder.
Movies.
Yeah, Shakespeare with pigtails.
All so. Shakespeare had boobies.
Well, not all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, like the originals.
All right, let's pretend I'm like Amber doesn't know any history.
You're like the theater major.
I was
major
a theater
too.
Major.
I know, that's what makes it awesome.
And with that,
I think we're about finished, right? Does anyone else have any plugs or anything before we finish up?
Hey, you can check out toddthefox.com. We've got a bunch of actually benefits for various things, including the Relay for Life to raise money for the American Cancer Society. That would be very cool if you'd come out and support finding a cure. The thing about cancer is...
Here's the thing.
Cancer research... Yeah, here's the thing that you ought to know. Cancer research costs dollars, but cancer itself costs lives. So please check that out. Also, we've got a link up to one of our really good friends, Sherry. We're still trying to help her out as best we can. Don't forget her. You can find this on toddthefox.com.
And I like their whole little thing, how they are in favor of more birthdays. I kind of like how they kind of bring that about.
So right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, I guess we stay excellent.
Check out next week's episode at jumpdriveradio.com.